You know what's the scariest part of October? Being vulnerable to cyber criminals. That's why this Cyber Scaries Month, you need Webroot Total Protection. With all-in-one protection for your devices, privacy, and identity, Webroot Total Protection helps defend every part of your digital life. Change your October from cyber scary to cyber secure with 60% off Webroot Total Protection at www.webroot.com/audio. That's 60% off for a limited time, but only when you go to www.webroot.com/audio.
Welcome to Tech Talks with Kinsoft, your shortcut to being truly well-informed without the information overload. Today we're taking a deep dive into a topic that's not just changing factories, but revolutionizing entire industries and even healthcare as we know it. Additive manufacturing, more commonly known as 3D printing.
Exactly. And our mission for this deep dive is really to unpack the most important insights from that stack of sources you've shared, research papers, industry reports, the lot to get a handle on the core principles, some surprising applications, and, you know, the challenges and opportunities this technology presents.
Think of this as your essential guide to understanding how 3D printing is moving from, let's say, niche applications to the very forefront of innovation. Okay, let's unpack this. So to start our deep dive, what exactly is 3D printing or additive manufacturing? And maybe more importantly, why is it considered such a disruptive force in manufacturing?
Right. So the fundamental concept is actually quite straightforward. AM builds three-dimensional objects in a layer-by-layer process directly from a digital data file.
Layer by layer.
And crucially, it does this without tooling. That's the key phrase.
Without tooling.
Without tooling, which contrasts sharply with traditional methods, you know, subtractive ones like milling, where you cut material away.
Right, carving it out.
Or formative methods like injection molding, which needs specific molds and pressure. AM just builds it up from nothing based on the design.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me. This isn't just about printing little plastic prototypes in a hobby shop anymore, is it?
Oh, absolutely not. That's where it started, sure, with rapid prototyping, mostly plastics.
Right.
But the recent breakthroughs, especially with metals, I mean, we're now seeing AM components used in real-world, sometimes critical applications.
And the market reflects that shift.
Massively. Just look at the numbers. U.S. revenue for AM was already, $7.34 billion back in 2018. The global market's expected to hit $23.33 billion by 2026. And specifically, the metal additive manufacturing market that's projected to basically double in 5 years. We're talking $4.64 billion in 2023, going up to $9.74 billion by 2028. That's serious growth. It tells you this is moving mainstream.
So what does this all mean for entire industries if it's growing that fast?
It means significant disruption across major sectors. Think aerospace, defense, definitely medicine, transportation, even food and fashion are exploring it.
Why? What's the core appeal driving that?
It comes down to the core benefits. Lower resource requirements, much faster production cycles in many cases. It enables decentralized business models, incredible flexible design, and of course, substantial savings on tooling. You don't need that massive upfront cost for a mold.
That flexibility and lack of tooling. What stands out to you about how this technology fundamentally changes how things are made?
For me, it's the shift in thinking. Instead of asking, how can I machine shape? Or how complex can the mold be? You ask, what's the optimal shape for this function? You can design these incredibly complex, lightweight structures, maybe with internal lattices, things that were just impossible before. It frees the designer.
That's a great point. So it's not just how it's made, but what can be made.
Precisely. And it's worth maybe briefly touching upon the diversity here. It's not just one 3D printing method. There are actually, I think, seven families of processes.
Okay.
Yeah, things like powder bed fusion, material extrusion that's probably closer to the desktop printers people imagine, and vat photopolymerization. Each one has unique characteristics, uses different materials, achieves different results.
So it sounds like choosing the right 3D printing technology is a really big decision, depending on what you're trying to create.
Absolutely. A huge decision. Each process comes with its own set of constraints and capabilities. It affects everything. The level of detail you can get, the strength, the material properties of the final part.
And the materials themselves.
Oh, the range is vast now. Polymers, of course, but also metals, ceramics, composites, and especially important for medicine, biocompatible materials.
Right, for implants and such.
Exactly. And the cost of the printers themselves reflects this diversity. You can get a basic desktop model for less than $500. But then you look at high-end industrial machines, especially for metals used in critical things like implants, and you could be looking at upwards of $600,000.
Wow, quite a range.
It is. And for those high-end systems, you really need designers with expertise in what's called design for AM. They need to think differently to really exploit the technology.
Okay, this is where we really dive into the why you should care part of our deep dive. Let's talk about where 3D printing is making the biggest waves right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the impact most visible?
Well, one area stands out as an early and, frankly, rapid adopter.
Yeah.
The medical and dental sector, it's really poised to revolutionize the whole medical device industry over the next decade or so.
How so? What kind of applications?
We can sort of group them into maybe five main arenas: medical models for planning, surgical implants themselves, surgical guides to help surgeons be more precise, external aids like braces or prosthetics, and even biomanufacturing printing tissues or scaffolds.
Let's focus on that personalized treatment aspect. That sounds huge.
It really is. AM enables truly personalized treatment. Think about patient-specific implants. You can create them directly from a patient's CT or MRI scan data.
So it fits perfectly.
Exactly. A precise fit tailored to their unique anatomy. I saw a quote from a surgeon who said, "Personalized treatment ensures that the patient gets exactly what the patient requires rather than an off-the-shelf solution that may need to be adapted for them." That sums it up perfectly.
Makes complete sense. And beyond the implants themselves, you mentioned planning.
Yes, it's also crucial for surgical planning and training. Surgeons can print realistic 3D models of, say, a complex tumor or a fractured bone based on the patient's scans.
So they can practice.
They can assess the feasibility of the procedure much more accurately. They can hold it, plan their approach. And for trainees, it lets them develop new skills with no exposure of patients to the operative learning curve. That's a massive step for safety and skill development.
And what about those surprising moments where 3D printing really stepped up to a challenge, like during the pandemic? That seems like a real proving ground.
It absolutely was. The COVID-19 pandemic was a powerful kind of real-time demonstration of AM's agility. Its ability to just bypass broken supply chains was incredible.
Any specific examples that stand out?
Oh, plenty. You had Formlabs, a 3D printing company, suddenly pivoting to make 100,000 nasal swabs per day when swabs were desperately needed.
Wow, 100,000 a day.
Yeah. NASCAR teams, using the printers they normally use for car parts, started churning out face shields for healthcare workers.
That's amazing adaptability.
It is. Then there was Isonova in Italy adapting snorkel masks, like the ones used for swimming, into emergency CPAP masks. Just incredible ingenuity. Materialize offered free designs for hands-free door openers. And here in Australia, companies like Fifth 3D made face shields. 3D Meditech designed ventilator parts and test swabs. It just showed how fast AM could react.
That speed and flexibility in a crisis, It really highlights its potential beyond just routine manufacturing. But it's not just medicine, right? What about other industries?
Oh, definitely not just medicine. In aerospace, NASA's using AM for complex parts like liquid oxygen turbopumps. These parts are lighter, potentially more efficient, which is crucial for rockets. GE Aviation's 3D printed fuel nozzles are another famous example: improved performance, fewer parts.
And cars.
Automotive uses it a lot for rapid prototyping, but also for performance parts. Bugatti printed this incredible topology-optimized brake caliper, super lightweight but strong, designed by an algorithm. Looks almost alien.
Topology optimized,
yeah.
Meaning the computer figures out the best shape.
Essentially, yes. It removes material wherever it's not structurally needed, creating the most efficient design. And then there's construction. Look at the MX3D metal pedestrian bridge in Amsterdam. A whole bridge 3D printed in metal shows the scale is possible.
What's fascinating here, listening to all this, is how this technology is enabling things that simply weren't possible before. Truly new capabilities.
That's the core of it. It's not just doing the old things slightly better. It's enabling entirely new approaches to design and production.
So with all these incredible advancements and potential, it can't be all smooth sailing, right? What are some of the hurdles, the challenges that need to be overcome for 3D printing to really reach its full potential?
You're right. There are definitely significant challenges, particularly if we look again at that medical and surgical supply chain context. One of the biggest is the need for evidence. Hard clinical evidence.
Yeah, it's evidence of what exactly?
Evidence to fully justify the benefits for patient outcomes, for quality, and critically, for cost effectiveness. Does using a 3D printed implant actually lead to a better result for the patient in the long run? Is it worth the cost?
Right. The show me the data problem.
Exactly. It impacts regulatory approval. It impacts investment. That surgeon quote again: "If I get a 3D printed cage, does that improve my patient outcome?" That's the question that needs solid answers. Plus, there are tricky issues around intellectual property rights for these custom designs.
Okay, evidence is key. What else?
Then there's costing and building the business case. The initial cost, industrial machines and the materials can be high, and it's often difficult to accurately track the entire end-to-end supply chain cost compared to traditional methods. This makes it hard for businesses, especially hospitals or smaller manufacturers, to justify the investment, particularly if they're only doing low volumes initially.
So a bit of a financial risk, especially early on.
Yes. And alongside that, there's limited capability and a shortage of skilled personnel. Finding enough skilled machine operators, and especially designers who truly understand design for AM, is a challenge globally.
The human factor.
Absolutely. Plus, you sometimes encounter cultural resistance people used to doing things the old way. And there are technical bottlenecks, too. Automation isn't always there. Processing speeds can be slow for some methods, and often parts need quite extensive post-processing after printing, like cleaning or heat treatment.
And standards. Is that an issue?
A big one. There's often a lack of consistent standards and processes. Things like material testing protocols, how parts are cleaned and sterilized, clear regulatory pathways. It creates uncertainty. There's, as one report put it, a lack of standards and flow processes within clinical environments that provide a level of confidence for surgeons to just fully embrace it without hesitation.
Okay, so some significant hurdles. But for every challenge, there's often an incredible opportunity waiting to be seized. Flipping it around, what are the big opportunities that 3D printing unlocks for the future?
Yeah, despite the challenges, the opportunities are really compelling. The top three that consistently come up are, first, that personalized treatment we talked about. The power of patient-specific design is just enormous for improving outcomes and the patient experience.
Customization as standard, almost.
Pretty much. Second is design flexibility. The ability to create those complex geometries, those one-off designs impossible with traditional methods. This leads to optimized high-performance parts, lighter, stronger, more efficient.
Getting the best possible design for the job.
Exactly. And third is rapid learning. Its role as a training tool, especially for new medical professionals, is huge. That quote about the youngsters coming out of training being much more gung-ho about using the latest tech. AM lets them learn complex procedures safely and effectively.
So personalized treatment, design flexibility, rapid learning, those are powerful drivers. This raises an important question, though. How do we bridge that gap between those challenges, the need for evidence, cost, skills, standards, and these incredible opportunities?
That's the key question, isn't it? Bridging that gap needs focused strategies. First off, continuous technology improvements are vital. The printers themselves need to keep evolving, becoming faster, more automated, maybe incorporating monitoring and inspection during the print itself to ensure quality.
Smarter machines.
Smarter machines, exactly. And looking ahead, integrating AI and machine learning is going to be huge here, predicting potential defects before they happen, optimizing print parameters on the fly, really enhancing quality control.
Okay, technology improvement. What else?
Closer collaboration is absolutely essential. The whole AM ecosystem, you've got the machine makers, the material suppliers, the software companies, the end users like surgeons or aerospace engineers, the regulators. It's quite fragmented.
Right. Lots of different players.
So we need much better collaboration between them all. Breaking down silos, maybe simplifying some of the technical jargon so everyone's speaking the same language, fostering that shared understanding.
Makes sense. Collaboration is key.
Then there's industry capability building. This has two sides. There's the technical capability addressing things like the limited options for post-processing, building up that skilled workforce, especially in places like Australia, where the AM industry is still growing compared to, say, Europe or the US.
And the other side.
The social or business capability. Things like helping companies adapt their business models to leverage AM effectively, fostering multidisciplinary teams that can actually integrate this technology into their existing workflows smoothly.
So skills and business models. Got it.
And finally, standardization and skill development, reinforcing that earlier point. We need clear, agreed-upon standards, especially for clinical applications, to build confidence. And continuous training and upskilling for everyone involved, from designers to clinicians, is crucial for consistent, high-quality results.
It's clear that these changes aren't just about making products slightly differently. They're about making smarter, faster decisions across the entire supply chain. Really rethinking it from design all the way to delivery.
Indeed. It's a fundamental shift towards a much more responsive, maybe localized, demand-driven way of making things.
That was a truly fascinating deep dive into the world of additive manufacturing. Its impact, especially on that medical and surgical supply chain, is profound. It really feels like 3D printing isn't just another technology. It's a genuine paradigm shift, redefining how we think about manufacturing, design, and especially personalized care.
I agree. That ability to rapidly produce customized, complex parts pretty much on demand, combined with all the ongoing advancements in materials, AI, it really points towards a future where manufacturing is way more agile, probably more localized, and definitely more tailored to individual needs than ever before. It forces us to rethink those traditional long supply chains and embrace new ways of collaborating and innovating.
You know, as we wrap up this deep dive, what really stands out to me is this idea of almost digital atoms. The power to arrange matter layer by layer exactly how we design it digitally. It makes me wonder, could this level of precision and customization eventually extend to almost every product? Our clothes, our food even. What are the big societal questions you think might arise from that kind of hyper-personalized manufacturing future?
Oh, that's a deep one to end on. It's really thought-provoking. If everything can be personalized, it raises fascinating questions, doesn't it? About consumerism, maybe we'd value things more if they were perfectly made for us, maybe less waste. But it also challenges mass production models, distribution. How would that work? It definitely suggests a future where we need to carefully balance this incredible innovation with, you know, ethical considerations and sustainability. It's not just a technical shift, it's potentially a societal one too.
A lot to think about there. A big thank you to you for joining us and sharing your expertise on this deep dive. And for our listeners, if you're looking to discuss your security and IT needs, make sure to visit www.kinsoft.com.au.
And for anyone interested in exploring 3D printing further, whether for business applications or just out of pure curiosity, you can find a lot more resources and services over at 3dprinting.zone. Definitely worth checking out to keep learning about how this tech will shape things.
We really hope this deep dive has given you plenty to mull over and maybe even spark some new ideas for your own world. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep building the future layer by layer.